Let us go to prayer. O blessed God, how kind are all thy ways to us, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet like thy servant Top Lady, we have been subdued by sovereign grace. We have been brought nigh through the blood of the Lamb. We therefore pray, O Lord, that the Holy Spirit would enable us to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that we may be made more like him day by day. Grant that we as the church may grow together in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that we may be forbearing with one another, that we may be long-suffering, that we may be, O Lord, praying for others as your servant Thomas Watson has taught us. We're thankful, Father, for this church and for the saints who have survived the pandemic. We ask your blessing upon us as we resume our activities. We pray for our congregational meeting next month. We pray for the time of fellowship together that we have missed so much. We pray for the saints that are not here today, for those who have gone away and not returned to church, not only here but in other churches as well. Father, we pray that they return, that they not forsake the assembling themselves together. And now we pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please open your Bibles to the 8th chapter of Revelation. I will be reading from verse 1 to the end of the chapter. I'm going to do something as I've done from time to time. I'm going to stop during the reading and give a brief commentary. And then the Lamb broke the seventh seal. Now, don't forget that. The Lamb initiates this. Who is the Lamb? The Lamb is Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb broke the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then that angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder, sounds and flashes of lightning, and there was a great earthquake. And then the seven angels who had been given the seven trumpets prepared themselves and sounded them. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass that was green was burned up. Then the second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became like blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships that were there were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star fell from the heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the water because they were made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night would be the same. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, Woe to those who are earth dwellers, because the remaining blast of the trumpets of the three angels are about to sound. You may remember my asking you, what is your reaction when you read the book of Revelation and of the events described, for example, in chapter 8? Do you have a feeling that God is overreacting? Is this something that you find unnerving? I'll be the first to admit that it can be most unnerving. You know, sometimes people minimize the effect of the book of Revelation by saying, well, after all, it's apocalyptic literature. It's not meant to be taken literally. It's all symbolic and figurative. Well, without denying that apocalyptic literature has its own genre, and things are said in a figurative or a symbolic sense, but it doesn't make them less real. Don't leave thinking that just because the language John is using is not to be taken in a purely literalistic fashion, that it's not real. Now, I pointed out last week that there's a correlation being described here in the 8th chapter of Revelation and the plagues that are described in the book of Exodus that fell upon Egypt. Did you notice the word third? It appears some 14 times in this chapter alone. A third of this, a third of that, a third of this, a third of that. Now, what we do know is that that third is not meant to be taken as something less than a third. It is to be understood in a literal sense. A third of something happened. And so there's a pattern that I said is being replicated here that is seen in the plagues that fell upon Egypt. Now, we know when we read of those plagues, they were literal plagues. It literally happened the way it's described. Now, there's something else that we ought to see here in the 8th chapter of Revelation. The sight of angels is described, and their grandeur. John sees them. Secondly, sounds are obvious. The trumpets are blown. Thunder is heard. John sees and he hears. There is also smell, the smell of incense, the smell of smoke. There is taste also being described when the water is polluted and it becomes bitter. And then there is a sensation of shaking. The earth trembles. All these things force us to realize that what's happening here is not something that's purely symbolic. Now, I made the point last week, and it bears repeating this week as well. We may see these events as being described here in the book of Revelation, that there are mechanisms that John is not describing. We can imagine in our day and time that what John is describing could occur with something like Chernobyl, in which there is a worldwide effect from an event in Russia. Now, I cited last week a story from the USA Today in which we're told that in the Yellowstone National Park, there is a super volcano. According to this article, it has erupted twice. Now, they give the data that it was some umpteen million years ago. But what they do know is that if it were to erupt again, it would be hundreds of times more powerful than the volcano that went off at Mount St. Helens. It is estimated that if it were to erupt, it would deposit 10 feet of ash across an area the size of Texas, that it would devastate the heartland, the heartland, which we get most of our crops and cattle, would be gone. Now, you can imagine the economic toil that would have upon not just our society, but the world, in which a food source, the United States and its farming community, is really the food belt of the world. What would happen if that was suddenly cut off? So, an event like that, and by the way, if you look at how John describes this, he talks about he says something, and he uses this word, something like a fiery mountain fell from the sky. And I studied an article in which a massive asteroid, this is as of May of just last month, passed within a few hundred million miles of Earth. And then another one, not quite as large, passed within 12 or 13,000 miles. But at some point in time, our planet could be struck by a gigantic asteroid that would have cataclysmic effects upon our society. So even though John does not describe the mechanism, nonetheless, what he's saying is God can bring about disaster through natural means. The plagues that fell upon Egypt, many of them were by natural means. The death angel wasn't, but the fact that the land was invaded by locusts and by frogs and hail and things like that, God brought about these things naturally. He can do so again. So this brings us to this realization as well. We see as we read the book of Revelation that God is acting in human history. And the world, by the way, it's interesting. You may have heard as I read through that text, you have an English translation that says, people that dwell on the earth. Literally, the Greek word is earth dwellers. And it's used to describe people who are living in rebellion against God. It really harkens back to the psalm that we read for the month of June in Psalm 2, where the kings of the earth take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. And I pointed out that Psalm 2 is not just describing the world outside of us, because we're told in the New Testament that we too were once children of wrath, even as the rest, that we once too lived in our own corrupt ways, following the pattern of the God of this world and living according to His commands. Paul tells Timothy that Satan has taken men captive to do his bidding, and they are his willing subjects, even though they may not be aware of the fact. That's why we pray every Sunday about the Lord delivering us from the evil one, that we be not deceived by his lies, because Jesus said he is the father of lies and he is a murderer from the beginning. And as we read through the book of Revelation, we're going to find that he has his puppets that do his bidding, the beast and the false prophet. We read about his fate at the end of the book of Revelation, in which he is cast into the lake of fire that had been prepared for the devil and his angels before the foundation of the world. And so these events that we read about in Revelation, and I repeat myself for the sake of emphasis, some people feel like the book of Revelation is only describing things that are future. From the fourth chapter on, once you get past the seven churches of Revelation, everything else is future. No. No. No, it's not. The book of Revelation describes things that have happened, things that are happening, and it does address things that will happen. And as I made the point last week, one of the reasons that the trumpet sounds, and by the way, this harkens back to the book of Joshua, you remember, which the people of God were told to march around the city seven times and blow trumpets. Trumpets were a signal and a warning. And in many ways, what we read here in the eighth chapter of Revelation is God's warning to a rebellious planet that He is not going to withhold judgment indefinitely. My good friend Sam Storms, who I've known for 30-some years, has likewise been preaching on this book as well. Listen to the conclusion he drew at the end of his sermon on Romans chapter 8. He says, as we look across the vast expanse of human history since the first coming of Christ and anticipation of His second coming, we see the concrete and all too real effects of God's wrath against human sin, idolatry, immorality, and unbelief. There is widespread famine, devastating tornadoes, floods, infectious diseases, war, psychological and emotional torment, pollution of our natural resource, and the list could go on seemingly without end. And to what purpose? To warn mankind that God will not ignore the defilement of His glory or the callous disregard for His mercy and long-suffering. If ever there were an incentive for personal evangelism, this is it. 2. Yet in the midst of this earthly carnage of demonic assault, God's children are kept safe and secure, having been sealed by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We may suffer at the hands of the unbelieving world. Persecution, slander, imprisonment, even martyrdom may come our way. But we will never endure the wrath of God, for Jesus has satisfied God's justice in our place on the cross. Let us praise God for His mercy. Finally, in the final analysis, God is unfathomable. As Paul said in Romans chapter 11, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable are His ways! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, give us ears to hear what You say to us in the book of Revelation. You promise a blessing to those who read and take to heart the things that are recorded here. May the Holy Spirit give us this wisdom, that we may conduct ourselves properly as we wait for Christ's second coming. Enable us, O Lord, to be evangelists, to take the word of the cross to a perishing world. Enable us, O Lord, to do this, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.